We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.
Hey guys, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask a Drone U. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode number 297 of Ask a Drone U. Thank you very much for spending a few minutes of your day with us.
Yes, no, we really do appreciate it.
I was giving
that face because I had a much more interesting way of opening the podcast, and Rob was not about it. So,
not true. No idea what you're talking about, but go ahead.
Anyway, guys, welcome to another awesome show. We've got some news for you today. We've got a question talking about flying in attitude mode. If you're a new pilot, flying in attitude mode is really, really important for getting those smooth cinematic shots when it comes to aerial videography. Obviously, GPS mode is great if you're taking photos. It's great if you're new to the sticks because you can just let go and hover. But if you want to fly like a pro, master flight, if you want to learn how to do it like we all do, you're going to have to learn to fly in attitude mode, right, Rob?
Yes.
Are you coughing really, because you've never flown in attitude mode?
You won't let me.
Not true.
No, I've never flown in attitude mode, actually. But yeah, it's a big jump up, right?
Yeah, it is.
And
I
love that our
jump up
question asker gave it a shot.
No, totally. You know what? There is no dumb question. I actually appreciate that he's asking this.
Yeah.
Again, why fly in attitude mode? Smoother shots, more control, faster speed. There's really so much more that you can do with it. You really can't do subject tracking without being in attitude mode.
Definitely.
You can't chase boats. You can't chase cars. None of that stuff. Really, none of that stuff unless you're flying in attitude mode. So today, we're going to go over, if you're lucky and you're listening, how I set up my Phantom 3 Pro with gains, with the attitude, with the brake settings, everything that you need to know. Also, my expos as well.
Cool.
So hopefully help you guys out, because you're going to want to reduce the yaw and you're going to want to increase some other things.
Yeah, so obviously the question we'll get to here in just a minute, but it'll lead into why Paul's doing those kinds of things. It's specifically looking for a little bit of help in flying better in attitude mode.
Definitely. And then stay tuned, guys, for after we answer the question, we're going to go into a very, very important breaking news. Breaking news, news, news. It is concerning the Senate bill that is the FAA Reauthorization Act. This is not the congressional bill that you guys have been hearing about in the past few weeks. This is very new, and it's very bad.
I got to say, I was a lot surprised by this news in terms of what they're seeking to accomplish. So stay tuned for that. Yeah, you're right. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I did not expect this.
Over the
honestly.
Course of the last 20 years, it seems like the average intelligence of our politicians has been steadily regressing. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, just look at our current campaign. What more do you need to say?
My favorite tweet that I read today was, I waited 18 years to vote and my choices are Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
What can we say? Like, sorry.
I think it's the baby boomers that should be saying sorry, because it's...
Well, yeah, I don't know. As a Gen Xer, I suppose maybe I have some responsibility. I don't know. We should all take a little responsibility for our current state of affairs, right?
Yeah,
anyways, we'll get into that more and
that's true.
Talk a little bit more about what's going on with that legislation.
Special thanks to everyone who's helped us out here at Drone U. I'm talking about all of our friends, GPC, the guys over at Drone Deploy, John Ruprecht, Tim Ray, Rob Burdick, Johnny D, I like to call him.
Johnny D,
our
I like
producer.
It.
and everyone who is a member, really appreciate it. Check out that GPC Osmo case review. We also have a new video coming out this week that's going to show you 5 unique ways to use your Osmo. And the cool thing is you can fit almost all of the accessories in the Osmo case itself, which is really useful. And if you're a videographer and you just love to learn new stuff, you're going to love this video. But
cool.
Anyway, let's get to today's question, which is brought to you by... Are you a drone pilot? Are you operating under a Section 333 exemption? Then you may be familiar with Item 27,
which requires you to get a property release for every flight over property.
Legal Flyer is an app for iPhone and iPad that helps you create professional property releases in less time than it takes to do a pre-flight check.
You can add your pilot info, you can sign in, hand it to the property owner for their signature. But wait a second. Legal Flyer's advanced integration automatically adds latitude, longitude, and even altitude.
Then add a panorama straight from the app. Everything drops into a single page PDF you can share with a single tap. It's compliance at light speed. Visit LegalFlyer.com for more information or get it straight from the App Store. Legal Flyer, property releases for professional drone pilots.
Well, I tried flying in Addy mode today for the first time with my P3P, and not as easy as it looks. I can see how you can get much better, smooth video, but it's very hard. Is there a way that you can give us some more tips on flying in Addy mode while recording?
Yes, Mike, thank you for the question. And guys, by the way, if you have a question like Mike did, do what he did and go to askdroneu.com and send that in, and we will get it on the air just as soon as we can.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I love that Mike gave it a shot, went for it. That's got to be nerve-wracking for the first time, and I don't know what kind of experience he had prior to that, but he sounds like he's probably relatively new.
This kind of reminds me of when we were at Altura Village and you were landing for the first time.
Yeah.
Remember how you felt then?
It was horrible.
That's probably how most people feel when they're trying to fly an ad.
Yeah, and by the way, it was really cold that day. Right?
Excuses.
I know. It's true.
Excuses.
I'm going to look for any way out that I can because I crashed.
You didn't really crash.
No, I didn't.
Okay, maybe you broke a prop.
You know why,
you
though?
You can't crash when you've got two legs on the ground.
Who was my trainer? Anywho.
Anyway.
No, I'm taking responsibility. It's on me.
You fly Phantoms now, don't you?
All absolutely.
Right. Let's start out first with the settings and some basics when it comes to flying in attitude mode. Guys, when you fly in attitude mode, you should have already either gone through some training or some education as far as how to fly, meaning like in our Don't Crash course, we've got a bunch of practice stuff talking about doing certain routines, mm-hmm. facing you and facing away from you. This is so that you can get it over the orientation hump, as I like to call it.
Yeah, which is a big hump, I think, for most people.
No, it really is.
Like a 15-year-old gamer, it might not be as big of a deal, but most people.
I saw a post on Facebook today where someone was like, I just got my unique and it crashed within one day because I was turned around and I didn't realize that roll is reversed when you're turned around.
So shameless plug, that person did not check out the Don't Crash course.
No, they
just
didn't.
Saying.
No, they didn't. But it's one thing that we want to help you get over those things. So check out the Don't Crash course. We're going to help you out with some stuff right now. But make sure that when you are going into attitude mode that you have got some experience in flying, maybe like 5-10 hours or so.
Yeah.
So you feel really comfortable because flying in attitude mode is totally different than flying in GPS. You know, GPS, you let your fingers off the sticks, you hover.
Right.
In attitude mode, you're constantly floating. Think of it like a hockey puck on an ice skating rink.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever
Perfect
direction
analogy.
You begin to move, you will continue to move once you let off the sticks.
Right.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've mentioned a few things before we got on the air.
We had to go over this because this one was like, oh man, I got to think about how I really go into one-on-one training with people when they come down here.
Yeah, it's funny because you get into that mode of, for you, it's just second nature. So you got to kind of back up and remember some of those details that can help other people that are just getting into it.
Totally true. So before we get into those details, though, let's get into the settings of your Phantom 3 Pro.
So really quickly, can you talk about why that's important?
It's really important because you're going to have more control. Now, understand, when you move from GPS to attitude mode, your pitch angles, your maximum pitch angles increase. So you're going to have a lot more speed capability, but you're also going to be much more sensitive. So we're going to bring down the sensitivity on our yaw, and we're going to increase the sensitivity on things like our pitch and our vertical, which means our elevation.
Okay.
Because we want to make sure that if we run into trouble in attitude mode, we're floating towards a tree. We want to make sure when we jack that, you know, elevation stick up, that we're going to move up as fast as possible.
Got it.
Which is normally around 5 meters per second.
Okay.
So my gain settings on my Phantom 3 Pro, pitch is going to be 110%, roll is going to be 100%. Yaw is going to be taken down a notch to 95%. If you find that your Phantom 3 is super sensitive when it comes to yaw, which remember is rotation, you can take this percentage down even more. I will give you a tip, though, on getting smooth cinematic footage is going to be, we're going to talk about here in a second, which comes down to utilizing each control surface of the drone simultaneously. We'll talk about that in a second. The last gain setting is going to be my vertical, which I have at 110%. Now, if you're familiar with the Phantom 2, if you've flown the Phantom 2, you remember that you used to have from 50% all the way up to 400%. And I had all of my pitch, roll, and vertical settings at 270% because it was the highest I could go without overheating the motors in the summer.
Okay, so, cool. So follow up to this. We're talking about getting settings optimized for attitude flight, correct?
Correct, yes.
Take somebody like Mike, who's probably going to be going back and forth between GPS and attitude as he learns. Is it okay to keep these settings for the GPS flight?
Yes, you're still going to be greatly limited in GPS, no matter what. So no matter how much you change the settings, they're still going to be greatly limited. And another little key thing, if you leave your tablet on to Wi-Fi, which I made the mistake of doing yesterday, I got the new DJI Go app for the Phantom 4 automatically downloaded onto my tablet. Huge mistake.
Interesting. Even though you don't have the Phantom 4, it did that.
Yes. And I'm really upset.
Bummer.
Because all of my settings that I'm about to tell you right now had to be redone.
Yeah,
because
that's kinda
lame. They deleted all my drone settings. So DJI, that was bad.
Don't do that.
Why did you do that? Don't do that again. Anyway, if you go into your Expo tuning settings, my first Expo starting on the left and moving to the right is going to be 0.4. 0.3 and then 0.3. 0.3, I believe, is the standard settings. 0.4 is going to make it a little bit more sensitive. On my attitude setting, I've got still at 100, and my brake I still have at 100. Your brake is really more so for when you're in GPS mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you let off the sticks and you come in and it starts to brake.
Right.
The amount in which and how hard it brakes is that control right there. But I'm just giving people some extra settings that they can use on
their family. So an attitude that is essentially disabled.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. But just for people who are asking that question,
sure.
Those are things, you know, people have asked me, so I wanted to let them know.
Okay.
Now, when it comes down to flying in attitude mode, there's a couple things you should do. Number one, never let your fingers off the sticks. I hate it when people move around like, here, let me show people. When like they're like this. Oh.
I will say that I think a person's natural tendency, for whatever reason, is to take your fingers off the sticks. I don't know why that is, but I say that because when I've flown with you, it seems like you're constantly having to get on me, and maybe I'm just a slow learner, I don't know, but Rob, keep your hands on the sticks. I would imagine a lot of you are like that as well, so it's something that you definitely need to work on.
Well, it's probably not a good idea if we talk about how slow of a learner you are on the podcast, but...
Oh, man, that's harsh.
Kidding, Rob. But no, I am actually... I harp on you a lot less than I harp on our students, because if I see someone do that more than three times, I just yell at them in their face, like, stop letting your fingers be removed from the sticks. Keep your fingers on the sticks.
It just shows the importance of practice and doing it over and over so that you develop the right habits.
It is. And why is that a good habit? Well, if you're going to want to get these smooth cinematic footage, understand that there's still a little bit of noise in the rotation control. So the way to eliminate that noise or eliminate that jerkiness, that yawness, whatever you want to call it, is by engaging every single control surface, which means a perfect example of this would be the half moon movement that we go over in the advanced aerial videography course,
mm-hmm.
which is we're elevating, we're yawing, we're rolling, and we're pitching. That's engaging all four control surfaces
right.
of the drone. That way we can fully control how much rotational movement we're going to have. We can fully control the amount of roll we're going to have, and we can fully control every other aspect of the drone. In order to really get those smooth cinematic shots, that is absolutely key in doing.
So essentially, if you're in attitude mode, the power is always going to be engaged because you're always counterbalancing the drone's natural tendencies. Is that one way to say it?
So again, if we look back at the hockey puck on an ice rink, if there's wind inside the ice rink for whatever reason, we have to counteract that. So yes, we are always going to be on the sticks.
Right.
So if we've got, you know, a 5-mile-an-hour headwind, you need to learn how to counteract that headwind and hover in place before you really start doing some of the advanced movements. Because if you can't hover in place in attitude mode, you really shouldn't really be flying in attitude mode, because you have got to understand how to counteract the forces of nature.
So that might be a good exercise to try in terms of getting better attitude mode, is literally trying to hover.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be challenging, particularly if there's a little bit of wind.
No, totally. I couldn't agree more.
So practice that.
Practice, practice, practice.
And of course, one obvious tip, if you're going to start practicing in attitude mode, be in an open area.
Oh,
give
yeah.
yourself a lot of space.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Let me see if you remember this from training. When a new pilot is learning to fly in attitude mode, you better listen to the question here, Ron.
I'm listening.
When a new pilot is learning to fly in attitude mode, what is the stick motion that you should do if you believe you're about to encounter trouble? What's the one thing you should do?
Oh, well, that's easy. You just got to elevate.
Oh!
You got to go up. Thank
gosh,
you.
I was so worried. I was Thank saying that question so slow.
No, you know better than that. Oh, man.
So, yeah, you want to, you know, whenever you see the thumbs up on Facebook, boop, that's what you want to do right here. If you feel like you're getting into trouble, elevate. If you learn to have that habit of, oh, I'm getting really close to that tree, it's really hard to hit stuff when you're flying over it.
Definitely. So, yeah. So, but again, the more open space you have, the less you have to worry about that. But it's something to be aware of for sure.
Gotcha. Let me ask you another question.
Please. Can't
if
wait.
If you are flying in attitude mode and you need to get down really fast because you know if you've taken our advanced course that, listen to this, the fastest way to get down without using the least amount of battery is taking the drone out of GPS, because GPS actually uses more battery than attitude mode.
Okay.
So what is the flight pattern that we would use to get the drone down as fast as possible?
As fast as possible? Like shut the drone off and it'll drop. Is that not what you mean? No, I'm just kidding. We're going to circle down.
Because that will work.
We're gonna circle down.
That's right. That tornado pattern where, we're engaging all surfaces of the drone and we can get it down as soon as possible.
And why don't we want to just go straight down?
Because you get in a vertex prop wash.
Which will do what?
You'll suck yourself into your own prop wash and crash down to the ground and look like a total noob.
Okay. You don't want that. Nobody wants to look like a noob.
No one
even
wants
if you are a noob.
No one wants their confidence shot into the ground. Yeah. So
definitely.
Because not only is it going to be your confidence, but it's going to be your pocketbook too.
Yeah. And then, you know, with the P3P that our buddy Mike is flying, that's not a small chunk of change.
1,000 bones out the door.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the other things that we were talking about, Paul, is it'd be a really good idea. So again, you're in an open space. Set yourself up some obstacles, some sort of a course, and really work on specific movements.
Yeah.
Maybe some hoops that you're going through. Challenge yourself a little bit and just get used to developing that muscle memory.
I could not agree more, my friend. I could not agree more. If you guys are setting up obstacles, try getting some PVC pipe. And what I would do is I would get, 2 T sections and 2 90 degree elbow joints, and then make a 4-foot by 4-foot square.
Cool.
Use the T joints on the bottom of the poles, so you can use the T joints to insert little 6-inch pieces of pipe.
Create a stand, essentially.
The feet, essentially.
Right.
And then just make, 3 sides, 4 feet, 4 feet, 4 feet across.
Yep.
And then try to fly through those. I know that may sound difficult, but 4 feet with a Phantom is very easy.
Well, we did some live training in Colorado last year, and many of those folks had never done that kind of thing. In the morning, they were nervous, they struggled, and literally by the afternoon...
Wait. My favorite quote from Vic was, "There's never any way I'm going to go through those things."
By the end of the day, he was zipping through them.
Oh, yeah. No one had a problem by the end of the day. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, and it's really about confidence.
It really is.
Because literally within a day's time, they couldn't have gotten that much better flying. I think it was really more of a mental thing.
I agree, and that's why we do those in-person trainings. So if you want those in-person trainings, make sure to ask us. Support
absolutely.
At the Drone U. I know that page is going up on the website because we just redid the website, so be patient with us if you can't find it on there. But we do lots of in-person training. I got one coming up here next week. So.
Very cool. So any final tips for Mike?
I think we covered all of them.
Okay.
The gains in, utilizing all the different control surfaces at the same time, understanding that you've got to counteract the forces of nature. Remember, every action dictates an equal and opposite reaction. Think of it like that. Also, make sure that you've got your orientation down before you fly in attitude mode. Set your gains properly. If you're mm-hmm. finding some issues with yaw, turn the yaw sensitivity down in your gains.
Mm-hmm.
That should be able to help you out. I think we kind of covered it. It really cool. comes down to practice, you know, going through an obstacle course, do some figure eights. Drone U does have some practice courses that we call it our homework. Let us know if you want that. We'd be more than happy to give it to you. Anyway, I think that's going to do it. But so I want to move into and what has been biting at my butt all day long.
Ooh.
Yeah, that didn't sound really good.
Sounds anyway, uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable because this better new drone mine. Law is uncomfortable, Rob.
Indeed.
So anyway.
It's not a new drone law. It's proposed legislation.
Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the old, I'm just a barrel mm-hmm. on Capitol Hill?
Yes, I have seen that actually.
All right, good.
It's so good stuff.
You know how it works then.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys know that Congress had introduced the Reauthorization Act. That has been shelved, as we like to call it. Shelving something normally means that Congress isn't going to do anything about it, which we're pretty used to right now. So Senate said, all right, we're going to come up with our own reauthorization bill. John Goyola, who's come on the podcast before, wrote this article, and I'm going to read you the article just because I feel like it's better if it comes from the horse's mouth. Mm-hmm. And maybe you'll understand a little bit better, too. So this is from John Goyola.
So take a seat and get comfortable.
Forbes magazine. And I begin. The Senate's proposed bill to reauthorize the FAA contains provisions related to the manufacturing of drones that could apply to home-built drones, as well as those produced by large consumer manufacturers. The bill in question, titled the Federal Aviation Administration Reauthorization Act of 2016, contains provisions that would have a significant impact on technology innovation by all manufacturers of small drones. With no size or weight threshold, the bill, if adopted, would add new and burdensome manufacturing, testing, and approval restrictions to even the tiniest drones. And the most disturbing, these restrictions could apply to hobby-built remote-controlled aircraft or student-built drones, effectively prohibiting them from operating outdoors. The legislation could also retroactively ground already built models that didn't meet the manufacturing standards called for by the proposed legislation. The bill states, and I quote, "It shall be unlawful for any person to introduce or deliver for introduction into interstate commerce, any unmanned aircraft manufactured on or after the date that the FAA adopts a relevant standard, manufacturing standard, unless the manufacturer has received approval for each make and model," end quote. In order to receive approval, the bill sets forth steps that would be difficult for large manufacturers to meet, let alone small businesses or individuals. In order to receive manufacturing approval, the drone maker would, among other things, have to meet safety standards developed through a consensus process with government, industry, and community-based aviation organizations, which would include, presumably, the Academy of Model Aeronautics, otherwise known as the AMA. A manufacturer, regardless of size, would at the minimum have to provide the aircraft's operating instructions and confirm that the drone met the specific standards. In addition, the drone manufacturer would have to provide a sample of every make and model to the FAA for its approval. I asked a leading drone attorney whether a drone built at home or in school would be considered to be introduced as, quote, into interstate commerce, end quote. According to Peter Sachs, who publishes the well-regarded legal website, DroneLawJournal.com, the flight of any aircraft, whether built in a factory or a basement, is a flight of interstate commerce. At a time when the U.S. lags behind so many industrialized countries in higher education, especially in terms of science and technology, a bill that would have such tremendous impacts on innovating new field is perplexing. Let me read that one more time. At a time when the U.S. lags behind so many industrialized countries in higher education, especially in terms of science and technology, a bill that would have such tremendous impacts on an innovative new field is perplexing.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, it is a little bit disturbing, and at the risk of getting slightly political, I mentioned to you that I was surprised, and you said you were not surprised, and you're right.
I'm not surprised because everything that has come down from Washington to the people has not made sense. You know, well, this whole gray area with, you know, drones flying in airspace, whether they're hobbyist or recreational or commercial, you know, the law says one thing because drones are interpreted as aircraft. The guidelines say something completely different. These ad hoc responses from Congress, from Senate, from the FAA, they're not working. And I think what we're seeing is a reaction from these ad hoc, really reactive bills and reactive guidelines. And Senate is just saying, you know what, we're just going to shut down everybody.
Well, and so what comes to mind for me is that it's indicative of sort of the path of our country, which we love dearly, but it's just sucking the life out of innovation and technology and advancement through government control, driving me nuts.
Well, you know what?
And this is an example of that, potentially.
Someone asked me the other day, they said, how can you be a patriot when you question the FAA so often?
Oh, please.
And I said, I think I'm a patriot because I question how government does things. And every human being should be able to question what the government does. That is the very basis of our freedom. And if we take that away, then we're going to end up like countries that have dictators. We're going to end up like countries like Syria, where civil war persists for years and years and years because no one has control, because the government has lost the perception of control with the people.
Yeah, the irony there is they are fighting to get control so desperately, and that fight leads to real fights,
yep,
like what you're talking about. And obviously we're being extreme in our rhetoric here, but nonetheless, something like this, I'm not going to lie, it's a little disconcerting.
It is disconcerting, and I know that there has been a huge outcry in the drone community. Loretta posted it, Peter Sachs posted it, Vic posted it. So guys, make sure you call your senator and make them aware of this. This is the only way that you have a voice. Guys, you've got to step up. You've got to call your senator, educate them on why this is a problem. And remember, focus on the benefits or negligence to society that this would cause. The impact on innovation, the impact on the economy and efficiency as a whole. It just goes to show, Rob, we have got to get this right. We have got to get legislation right. So guys, make sure you reach out to your senator. Again, you can just go on your state's website or the Senate website and find out who your senator is. Make sure they know how you feel.
Absolutely.
Call them, email them, do both.
Indeed.
We're actually going to have Vic Moss come on board and talk about how he has successfully changed drone law for operators, how he's done it.
So perhaps through that conversation, we can really start to build sort of a grassroots lobby. That's what we need.
We do. And there are, you know, there are other grassroots lobbying out there, UAV US and some other things. But until people literally step up and do things like what John Taylor and John Rupert are doing, you're not lobbying unless you actually lobby. Meaning you're spending money that people gave you to lobby. So that's just so crucial and so important. And, you know, one thing I want to talk about here is I mentioned this to John Rupert. I said, you know, well, the FAA is moving forward on their own interpretation of micro UAS. Do you think that's going to stop? Because remember when we talked about how when registration happens, if we allow this to happen, there are going to be other things that come down the pipeline. They're going to be clear, overreaching attempts to inhibit our industry. And it's clear the FAA is moving forward with their agenda. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that the senators are not happy with their agenda. Mm-hmm. It's clear that Congress is not happy with their agenda. And the only way that the agenda is going to stop is if there is some sort of injunction or decision that comes out of the John Taylor case. Because the Taylor case challenged the FAA's ability to make ad hoc rules, not only against what Congress told them in 2012, but also creating policy without notice of public comment.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rush through these things, guys. You've got to do it the right way. We have balance of power for a purpose.
Absolutely.
To ensure safety, to ensure that things are done properly.
Indeed.
And we don't fix a mistake with a mistake. We get it right. So whether it's the first time or the second or third time, you just got to get it right. So
speak
could
up.
The FAA be stopped with this whole micro UAS stuff? We're going to find out here in the next couple days, if not the next week, when we get a decision from the John Taylor case. And John Rupert told me he's expecting something any day now. So stay tuned on that. You may even hear it before this podcast comes out because we recorded this on Wednesday. So anyway, guys, thank you again for everything. We love to hear your questions, legal, business, drone, FPV. Remember, John Casey is here to answer your FPV questions. John Rupert's here to answer your legal questions. And we're here to answer all of your joking questions. unrealistic questions.
We'll take them all.
We'll take them all, guys. Thank you again so much for being a part of the community, and thank you for always being willing to learn. If you want to do us a favor, give us a shout out, give us a share, or give us a review. Whatever makes you happy will make us happy. Thank you guys so much for the continued questions. Get those in, win a free membership, and get your question answered. That's going to do it for us today, guys. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone Youth.